Guns N' Roses, Welcome to the Jungle, also known as The Phil Nason Show, and I'm happy to have you here on this pop culture Tuesday afternoon. It's February the 19th, 2013, and we've got lots of things to talk about tonight. Yesterday's program was amazing. Debbie Wilson was here. that book, Sweet Scent of Justice, you know, we talk about these fakes and these fugazis and these pretend Christians and pretend whatevers. And that gal's for real. And I'm glad you all recognize that I saw the Amazon link get clicked 150 times. And I was thrilled to see that. Anyhow, today we're going to talk some all kinds of different things today. And on the line, as a special occasion, is our normal Thursday guy on Tuesday today, this week. He'll be here twice this week. Please welcome from thesportsgoons.com, Mr. Jamian Smith, to the Phil Nason Show. Jay, what's up, dude? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, man? Twice the fun this week with me and you. I heard that we got a lot of downloads and a lot of hits from last week about our Facebook fugazi, man. So great things with that.
We banged it up, man. We had people from all over the world writing in. One, my friend from Scotland, he says, you and Jamian were on fire Thursday. That's the way it should be. You know what? But nothing pisses us off more than phonies and hypocrites and crazy people, you know?
Yep. You're right about that.
And there's plenty of them. And like he said, don't worry. He said, they're queuing up for you on Facebook. It's okay. Somehow, you know what, though? And I Twittered these guys, the guys that we were talking about, just to let them know that it was there. I don't like to talk behind people's backs. Mm-hmm. And the one guy called me a troll, Jay. Well, the one I was complimentary of.
Yeah, wow. Wow, the troll calling the troll.
Yeah, so that's, you know what, I guess his insinuation was, well, he's never tweeted me. Well, that's okay, you've never commented on my Facebook page. And I was nice to the guy, and I'm going to be, I don't want to talk about those idiots anymore, but yeah, that was a lot of fun, that show. We really laid it out. Your guy went from honorable mention to Hall of Fame material.
The Black History Facts?
Yeah. I tell you what, I had a lot of comments about that, too. People wanted to know what your Black History moment was really all about and why would people take offense to it. So I thought what we would do to start the show today, Jay, is just share a little, three or four of your Black History blurbs for the folks, and we'll comment on them.
Okay, all right. The thing about it is, with these Black History Facts, I actually think about them. I actually put some time and effort to sit there and think about some of these things. Now, some of them are funny and some of them are, you know, hilarious, but a lot of them, you know, are, makes you, some things you probably forgot. Now, like I said last week's show, we learned about certain people and certain things in school, whatever. These right here, sort of like a pop culture, you know what I'm saying? Something like you would see on a VH1 MTV, something like that. But like, here's, I had a great one yesterday. I was telling you about this morning, but here it is. I always started off with good morning, meaning, you know, hey, how you doing? Being nice about it. Good morning. Happy birthday to Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Jordan was a 6-time NBA champion, 5-time NBA MVP, 14-time NBA All-Star, 6-time Finals MVP, 10-time scoring champ, and also won countless other awards. He is also a very successful businessman with numerous endorsements with the Jordan brand, Nike, Gatorade, Hanes, Wheaties, Ballpark Franks, Rayovac batteries, and Coca-Cola. But people also forget in 1996, he helped the Toon Squad upset the Monstars in a thrilling game to save the Looney Tunes from being attractions at Moron Mountain. Black History Fact, you're welcome.
No, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
It's all true.
Yeah, exactly. That's one of the best ones. That one got 30 likes, I believe. That was a good one, though.
That's very creative. And by the way, you know, you brought up Michael Jeffrey Jordan. Uh-huh. And there's this interesting rumor going around that he's going to return to the NBA. What do you think about that? Before we continue on with Black History Month,
we had a post about that in Sports Goon. Like, what will Jordan do now? Because it's been a lot of talk since the Kobe, LeBron, Jordan. Jordan said that Kobe, he'll take Kobe over LeBron. Yada yada yada. And Jordan talking about he's getting that itch again. But Jordan been in the media a whole lot around his birthday. I said on the Goon, I may have far-fetched it. I may have threw it out there. I said, if you give Jordan time to get in shape, you give Jordan time, I said he can average 10 to 15 a game in the NBA right now. That's what I believe. It was like he has no lateral quickness. He had his defender was – he's the player who he's checking would score 20 a game, 25. I'm like, name a shooting guard out there who's just ripping it up outside of Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade. I was like, I'll wait. I said, Jordan is smart. He'll want you to shoot a crazy jump shot. He's going to talk trash. He's crafty. He's the most technical, cerebral player of all time. He will find a way to get you out of your game, and he will find a way to get his game going.
I couldn't agree with you more. But I don't know if he would get 15 points a game. But
depending on his minutes.
Yeah, exactly. But and how really good a shape he's in, and how if he has that fight still, which I'm sure he does.
Yeah.
You know, and this has all been spurred because he, what, beat Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in a one-on-one? First of all, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is a cupcake compared to Michael Jordan. Of course Michael's going to beat this guy at age 50. Get out of here. But and go ahead.
I about to say, what happened was Michael Kidd-Gilchrist can't shoot a jump shot, and Jordan can. That's just the bottom line with that one.
That's very helpful, too.
The last thing to leave you is your jump shot. Jordan still got a jump shot, and I mean, she can beat a lot of people one-on-one. So that's how that goes.
Well, they say he can't dunk anymore, and that's fair enough. He's 50 years old.
He's fat now. I mean, if he gets in shape, I'm sure he still can get up.
But this whole thing with a LeBron comparisons is ridiculous because you're talking about two different players that have played two different positions and two different styles of play.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing. Michael Jordan didn't have to leave Chicago to get a championship. Or two or three or four or five or six.
And people was mad that Jordan took Kobe. I'm like, why is Jordan a hater? Why are you mad because he took Kobe over LeBron? I'm like, I didn't see the logic in that at all.
I didn't see the logic in it either, but a lot of people are just silly. But, okay, so that was one of your Facebook Black History moments. Give us another one.
Let's see. Good morning. Sabrina LeBeau, better known as Sandra on The Cosby Show, almost didn't get the role of the oldest child because she is 10 years younger than Felicia Rashad in real life. She almost lost it to Whitney Houston. She appeared halfway during season one. In the first season, Felicia Rashad was 35, LeBeau was 25, but in the Huxtable household, Claire was 36 and Sandra was 18. Black History Fact, you're welcome.
Well, what's wrong with that?
You tell me.
who is Sandra LeBeau? Who's talking about Sandra LeBeau? Ain't nobody talking about her in 20 years.
Exactly.
Except you on Black History Month.
Thank you.
And she is Black History.
Yes.
She's a credit to your race, to the African-American race.
Yes, she was an African-American lady who was portrayed to go into Princeton, you know, find a husband. I forgot his name on the show.
Oh, I don't remember his name, but I remember him. Kind of a little dumpy fella.
Yeah.
Was going to med school or something.
Yeah. Uh-huh. It'll come back to me.
Well, it doesn't matter. Though. The point is this. She was probably one of the, you know, that back then when that show came out, and she played a lot at first and second years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is the stereotype was that black kids didn't go to Princeton.
Mm.
And she did. Especially black girls, because the stereotype was they were knocked up in baby factories for welfare. And what you had is a family that was different. And that's why it transcended not only race, but culture. The Cosby Show was a great show. A credit to TV, really. And bottom line is, while I know a lot of black people, and they say this ain't really the way it should is, it doesn't matter. It still took away that stereotype because that was awful, and it was wrong, by the way. Okay, you're taking a minority of people and trying to make them the majority. And the Cosby Show and Miss LeBeau and her character, Sandra, helped dissuade that or take away from that stereotype. Bravo, Jamian. That's another good one.
Alvin was his name. Alvin.
Yeah, Alvin. And Bill Cosby used to hoot on him all the time. You got a job yet, son?
All right. Here's another one.
Go ahead. Give us another one.
You remember the show A Different World?
Of course I do. The spinoff from The Cosby Show.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another one. Good morning. In 1987, Dwayne Wayne and Ron Johnson were the first television characters to wear Air Jordans on TV. They made Air Jordans permanent fixtures on A Different World. The first pair they wore was the Air Jordan 3 with the original Nike sign on the back and paved the way for such characters as Will Smith, Martin Payne, Marlon and Sean Williams, and Stephen Q. Urkel. Black History Fact, you're welcome, sneakerhead.
Did you do that? Oh, my, what is wrong with that?
I have no clue.
I really don't.
Let me find the one that where they got mad at. Okay, the Puff Daddy one. I mean, in 1997, Carl Thomas, Puff Daddy, and Mace went around the world, and they were player hated. Black History Fact. You're welcome. You know, people, it was funny. It was just nice little funny because they had a song, Been Around the World, and the hook was they were player hated. So I just, you know, in 1997, that's what happened. So that's the one that where the post was on.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let's go back in our trivia. Okay. Who ended up the most famous of all of the kids from Different World?
Jada Pinkett, actually. But from the original crew, I think it was a Jasmine guy?
No. A young lady named Marissa Tomei.
Ha, right.
The Flash knows his trivia, baby.
Season one.
Right. Oh, yeah. I was trying to hook up with her, by the way, at that point. Sure. I remember her very well. She's 2 years older than me, actually. I was hoping she would cougar me, but she didn't, damn it. But sure, I used to see her at the bus stop all the time.
Ooh.
She was hot. And apparently I was not. But that's okay. I did better. I wound up with better. At least that's the politically correct answer. But I don't get why the people don't like you. They think you're mocking black people. Is that what it is?
Well, it's not people. It was just one person, really. But it's sort of like mocking, yeah, mocking black history. Like, this is not what paved the way and pioneers. Me, personally, I'm more of a Renaissance type of guy. I don't like hearing about the old time, the old days, the struggle, the this, that, and other. I mean, because I'm not that type of guy. I'm not a struggling type of guy. I don't want to hear struggling stories. I want to hear about innovative things, fun things, creative things. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I took it upon myself. For me to sit here, there, every day to even come up with these, it's showing my salute to black history in the first place. I go down my Facebook screen, I don't see anything. I don't see anybody posting anything, black history facts. Now, like, it's another thing now with in the Instagram craze where people get pictures of old black people, say this person is the first person to start this, like I was telling you about last week. But actually coming up with some great, interesting stuff, I don't see anybody else doing it, man. So, you know, to each his own.
And it's original, too.
Very original. That's the thing. They are very original.
That's why they don't like you.
Because they didn't think of it first.
You're America's worst nightmare. You're a black man with an education and an imagination.
Oh, man. Who you telling?
I got to tell you that. Sometimes I have to remind you of that.
Yeah, the man be trying to hold you. They hold you down.
They try to hold you down. And you know what? It's like a black-on-black crime, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. They think I'm different. But if I have a status saying, talking, cussing women out, demeaning the women, talk about my money, talk about selling drugs, doing this crazy stuff, I have 100 likes on there, you know what I'm saying? Talking about, aka my baby mama, talking about she ain't nothing, and this, that, and the other. Oh, I have about 200 comments, likes and everything, man. That's what the people want to hear, I guess. That's not me, because I don't like to talk about things that I don't like, so why would I talk about stuff like that, you know?
Exactly. I completely agree with you, and I think your black history things are very clever. You know what you should do? You should turn those, you should write those blurbs out and send them to a publisher.
Mm.
I tell you what, I'll even be your editor. We'll talk about this offline. I can find you one. I interview lots of authors, as you know.
Oh, yes, you do.
The lady that was on yesterday?
Uh-huh.
She's going to be on Paula Zahn in March.
Oh, wow.
I scooped you, baby.
Cool, thanks.
I'm telling you, we got to get the hook up here.
Cool. Can't wait. Yeah, I can write a book of these. I can write a whole book of these.
I could too. I think we should do it like a checkerboard history.
Cool.
You know, anybody can write about Rosa Parks.
Exactly.
Here's what you left out. And this is one of my best friends. His grandmother, who was African-American, said the only reason Rosa Parks got famous is because her feet were tired and she didn't want to get up. That's what she said. She said, come on now. You know what? What about me? I didn't get off my seat either. No, she was only teasing. You know, Rosa Parks was a wonderful historical figure, and why we should praise her. There are other people out there who've done things that were pioneers too, like Miss LaBeouf and different people like that. And Dwayne Wayne. Dwayne Wayne, man, he was something else. He was in love with that girl for years.
Yep. Oh, Whitley.
For Whitley years. Gilbert. And before that, he was in love with the Cosby
Denise.
Girl.
Yeah, Denise sure. Huxtable. Lisa Bonet.
At least he ended up getting with her. Whitney, though.
Yeah. I'm very impressed that you know your Different World stuff.
yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. What I see, I forget sometimes, so they forget their names. This was when I was in college. This stuff came out. What do you think we were doing? Playing ball all day? But anyway, when Denise put him in the friend zone, finito.
Yeah. I feel Dwayne Wayne on that one.
I do too. I've been in the friend zone.
Me too.
It's all good in the hood. I'll tell you someone who's not in the friend zone. It's Oscar Pistorius.
He's not in the friend zone. He's in the hot seat.
He's in a freaking twilight zone. I hope they give him his legs in the jail because he's going to have to run with something. Because he ain't no big boy. Anyway, for those of you who've been living under a rock or actually don't care who the Blade Runner was or is, he is a young man named Oscar Pistorius. He's from South Africa. He is considered a hero in the London 2012 games. He got to the semifinals of the able-bodied 400-meter dash. He was the guy who was running on blades. He's a Paralympic champion. He's won, 12 medals in overall. Anyhow, on Thursday, unfortunately, he claims he mistook his beautiful girlfriend, 29-year-old Cougar, Reva Steenkamp, because she cougared the dude. Anyway, he claims that he shot her because he thought she was an intruder. Police say he shot her through a bathroom door after she fled from him with a bloody cricket bat.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he claimed that it was self-defense, the police started laughing. Okay, right. These people are crazy. What is up with this kid? He's finished, eh?
Yeah. I read a report that he shot in his – he tweeted out. He says nothing like coming home – shooting something, you think it's the washing machine, but you think it's an intruder. But he was armed and ready, so that's why I'm thinking that he may have thought his girlfriend was an intruder and he shot her. But you talking about the cricket bat and the blood, and she was trying to escape and he blew her away. Like, man, are you crazy? And the other thing, you told me that they found steroids in his house, so they could be
attributed to something. And there was excessive drinking too.
Oh, yeah, see, I mean, he's done. There's no way around this. And that was a beautiful lady. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah, he's had plenty of them.
Man, I'm like, why would he kill her? What did she do to him? What in your right mind would make you want to say, okay, I'm about to get a cricket bat and beat the crap out of you, then I'm going to blow you away? Well, I mean, what is wrong with him? Like, what could even bring him to that? Now, I hate to bring up the race thing here, but if he was black, he would be noted as an angry black guy, and he would be thrown under the bus, thrown under the jail, and the key put away somewhere. But with him, Oscar, they're going to try to plead insanity and road rage, and he had to go through his mental and then go through all that foolishness when the guy just committed, cold-blooded murder. I mean, there's no way of getting around that. I mean, the prosecutors can try. They can try very hard, but he's done for.
He should be. We have to remember that these allegations are only allegations, but it sure looks bad. And you're right. You know what? He cracked her through the door four times. Now, we're going on reports by people, and they don't seem to be refuting them. But there was excessive – this is what reports say, that there was excessive alcohol being used that day, consumed in the apartment, and that there was also signs that they had physical contact underneath the sheets prior to this. You know what? Who knows? But this guy's a loony. Here's the thing, though, is when no one said anything about this kid last Wednesday. But the moment he got busted, he had ex-girlfriend saying he was the nicest guy in the world. And then he had others that said he was a creep, a player, that he did all kinds of different things how should one girl put it? Or how did she put it? She said, he's not the person you thought he was. Well, I never gave him much thought, really. I saw this dude running around on blades, and I went, oh, good for him. God bless him. Good for him.
I just think about when Cat Williams, the comedian, talked about him, or I think with somebody else with the prosthetic legs. He said the middle, he called him Tink Tink, Polo Tink Tink. You know, that's what I thought about every time I heard his name. But now he will be known for other things now. And his just coming out 1 year, not even a year, from the Olympics, his life could be very well be over.
Yeah, he can only get 25 years in prison. That's that's the maximum they can give him. They can't give him a life sentence, and they can't put him to death. But man, why would you destroy that girl? Now, that's the thing. I don't get it. with this. And here's the other thing too, Jay, is that there were previous domestic abuse complaints coming from that house between those two people, including people that day heard those two fighting just a couple hours before it happened.
Wow.
And then here's the other thing too. When he carried her down the stairs, I'm sure he did because he didn't want anyone to know he capped her in the bathroom. He didn't call the police. He called a friend of his. He's finished, man. Stick him underneath the jail. Forget about this kid. His agent has canceled all his races. Well, you know what? Yeah, technically his races are over for medals. Now he's got to run new ones to preserve his backside because it's going to be on like a pot of neck bones up in that prison because this is a famous guy.
Yeah, actually, they may have him quarantined from the rest of the from the rest of the people. I don't know, but you know.
Not currently, but they're not going to do that forever because this is South Africa. This isn't Santa Monica. I mean, this ain't O.J. Simpson.
You'll be in general population, what you think? You'll be in general
Yeah,
pop.
I'm sure. Whatever it is, whatever they consider general pop, and I doubt that their prisons are as advanced as America's. So this could be an interesting life
About
experience for the Playboy Blade Runner. Blade Runner busted, Jay. Can you believe? You know what? When I saw that foolishness, the first thing I thought is, okay, maybe she cheated on him, and he just said and capped her. But I don't get that because if you saw the pictures of these girls that he was squiring around South Africa and different places, this dude was doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, the woman that he shot, man, was gorgeous. Like, I don't know what's wrong with the guy, but God bless, man. whew, that's crazy.
He's finito.
Yeah, he's done. He's done.
Allegedly. Now, these are all if the allegations are true. We have to continue to say that so we don't get sued, Jay. But
Okay.
sayonara, Oscar. It's been nice sort of knowing you. I never even saw him run once, except maybe for 2 seconds. And I went, yeah, good for him. But anyway, you know what, Jay? We're off to a rip-roaring start when we return. We're going to talk about the All-Star game, a little more about Michael Jordan, perhaps, a little more
Okay.
LeBron, Michael Jordan debate. And then we're going to do the Real Housewives of Atlanta. We're going to talk about the Real Housewives of Atlanta because I'm not sure I would want to do any of them. But I have to leave them be. Sorry, Jay. But with a guy who actually lives in Atlanta, who's seen them around and actually knows a couple of people who appear on the show. And we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Phil Nason Show on these amazing affiliates. And we'll be right back.
Stitcher Smart Radio is an award-winning, free mobile application that lets you listen to your favorite shows and discover the best of news, entertainment, and sports on demand. Now you don't even need a Wi-Fi or a cell connection to listen to shows like The Phil Nason Show. Never miss another show. It's real simple. Just go to Stitcher.com and download the free app today. And never miss another Phil Nason Show. Been dreaming of that Greek vacation? Well, if you have, then you might want to check out the folks at the Aridi Grand Hotel, located in beautiful Corfu, Greece. Come experience world-class cuisine as well as the hospitality that Greece is legendary for at the Aridi Grand Hotel. You can find them at aridihotel.com or email them at reservations@aridihotel.com. This Week in Tennis is a weekly tennis program covering all aspects of professional tennis. The most controversial tennis show anywhere deals with issues no one seems to want to touch. For music and hard-hitting commentary, please visit philnasons.com. Hi, this is Phil Nasons from The Phil Nason Show and This Week in Tennis. When I'm looking for sports information, my first stop, as well as yours should be, sports-kings.com. Great information, scores, highlights, and exceptional commentary. You can find it all there at sports-kings.com.
And we are back once again on the Phil Nason Show. Man, we want to thank our great sponsors. And I have to clear this up. Starbucks coffee is actually considered gourmet coffee. Starbucks is a fine sponsor of the Phil Nason Show. And sponsored the Flash before this Phil Nason Show. And I was never, ever meant to say anything disparaging about Starbucks. So you haters who wrote to Starbucks and said, oh, he's cracking on Starbucks. Thank you, Starbucks, for getting the gig and getting the bit. I was just having fun with a Fugazi, but I had to break that up. Anyway, Jamie is here, and he can be found at thesportsgoons.com or at thesportsgoons on Twitter. Now, Jamie, and the All-Star weekend, you were busy this weekend. I live in Greece, so I can't technically see the game until later on today. We're recording this on Monday, but I did see a lot of the highlights. I did see the dunk competition. How would you rate this All-Star weekend as compared to others?
As on a scale of 1 to 10?
Yeah, why not? 1 to 10 is good.
1.
Okay. Carry on.
It was terrible. I mean, from the celebrity game to the – I fell asleep on the All-Star game. I think it's the first time ever that I have fell asleep on the All-Star game. The West won 143-138. Chris Paul named the MVP. But the crowd was dead. I mean, I wasn't feeling the vibe. I'm going to rewatch it again at 12:30 today on NBA TV and see if I missed anything. But the biggest highlight was Kobe Bryant blocking LeBron James' shot. That was the biggest highlight of the game. I mean, wasn't no real thrilling things going on. All-Star Saturday night, the dunk contest was terrible. The best part was the three-point contest with Kyrie Irving winning. They tried to do this thing with the East versus West, trying to do teams and all the events and the team. It was just a bunch of food. They tried too hard. All-Star weekend, they're trying too hard. Go back to the 80s. Go back to the 80s, how they did things in the 80s and early 90s, man. When the All-Star weekend used to be a special attraction. All-Star weekend used to be up there with Super Bowl weekend. It was a special attraction in the MLB All-Star game, but the NBA, this is why the Pro Bowl, people house on the Pro Bowl and the Pro Bowl's terrible. Well, people, the Pro Bowl gets more viewers than the NBA All-Star game. Sad, but it's true. And I'm sure the NBA, the Pro Bowl got more viewers this year than the NBA All-Star game. The Pro Bowl was better than the NBA All-Star game this year, man. So that's my scale of it. It was terrible. It was in Houston, whoop-de-doo. Salute to Chris Paul, MVP, but that's all I got for him.
Yeah, it was kind of dodgy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy stuff, man. I don't understand it. I used to love the All-Star game. To be honest with you, I thought the dunk competition was better this year than it was in the last couple years because you didn't have that foolishness, that fugazi in L.A., or Orlando last year, Dwight Howard with his Superman capes, and he didn't have anybody jumping out of phone booths. I thought James White's flight attendants were good because it kind of fit in with the YouTube videos he had out there. I honestly thought that two-handed dunk from near the free throw line was probably the best one because that was the most athletic dunk, although that one over to the Twitter founder's son, that was pretty good too. I enjoyed it because it was a little more technical this year. So I like the dunk. I guess I like the dunk.
This is the flawed thing about it. Kenneth Faried did not miss a dunk, but Terrence Ross missed dunk for 2 straight minutes, and Terrence Ross ends up winning the dunk contest. That's why they got to go back and reevaluate some things. Let me repeat: Kenneth Faried did not miss a dunk attempt. I mean, he had one where the ball, like, he bounced it too high. He had to catch it or whatever, but he did not go up and the ball bounced off the rim. Terrence Ross missed dunks for 2 straight minutes, but somehow or another, Terrence Ross won the dunk contest. That's the problem I got. I mean, some of the dunks, I mean, the championship, the final round was good with Evans and Ross, but how they got there was the brutal and hard part. I mean, they got to do something. I say this, now you can fix it. You had a sponsor. There's a bunch of sponsors there. Foot Locker, Sprite, State Farm. You had Chris Paul. It's Cliff Paul and his State Farm commercial. Get these sponsors together. Put $1 million on the line. And let's see who comes out and want to be in the dunk contest then.
That's the thing, you know, because that's what ruins it. Because when I was a kid, when they were doing that, you had Dominique, or I was actually an adult. Well, 16, 17, 18 maybe. I guess I didn't become an adult until I was like 35, though, maybe 40. But anyway, yeah, Dominique, he participated in, what, 7 of them? 5 or 7? Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, Dr. J. I mean, you had James Worthy. These guys wanted to go out there. And more importantly, they wanted to kick each other's backsides. Yep. In those individual competitions. They wanted to show off and do their thing and beat the other guys. These guys are all too buddy-buddy, man. And it's David Stern's fault. David Stern has sissified the NBA to the point where they need to put on bibs. Because bibs and knee pads, don't give them any, you don't even give them any uniforms anymore. Just give them bibs and knee pads and leave them in the locker room to their foolishness. And let the old guys come out there and do it for the thing. Or let the celebrities. The celebrities were more entertaining than the NBA guys, I thought.
The G League.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't like to. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Seriously, I watched the D-League All-Star game. It was better than the NBA All-Star game. Because those guys was out there trying to prove a point. It was a showcase for them to get back in the NBA. So they was going at it. It wasn't no, oh, you're my friend, so I'm going to let you do a 360 dunk on me. No, buddy. Those kids were going at each other, man. So, yeah, you're right. It's too much buddy-buddy, too many friends. And the sissification, or as the state of the governor of Pennsylvania called it, the wussification. That's what the NBA has called. Too many friends, not enough foes.
Yeah, you got LeBron James and Kevin Durant holding hands and singing Kumbaya. And what's with all this hugging and before the games with all these guys? Where did that come from? You know what? It's fair enough. I hug people too, but not before I play them.
No.
Maybe afterwards. That's a different issue. You played hard, and hey, you can walk off the court. But when you walk on the court, you got to be a killer.
Yeah.
These guys, and this whole team concept with the other stuff is just ridiculous.
Yep.
I mean, what is that? Who cares? I want to see individuals knocking each other out. And you were right about Faried. You know something? I think it's because he has two mamas and he's a nice guy.
He's the manimal. The manimal can't be nice.
But he's a nice human being, though. He's a credit to the NBA and the things he stands for. And I think it's great that he does these things. But it's going to kill him in the end. But he's a killer when he plays.
Yeah. And he had I will say this. The rookie game was pretty nice. I enjoyed watching the rookie game. The battle between Kyrie Irving and Brandon Knight with the crossovers and the manimal just wrecking shop in that game. That was the best thing I've seen the whole weekend, to be honest with you.
Well, like I said, I like the dunk competition. I have some of this stuff I can watch tonight because we're going to talk about it again tomorrow. But honest to goodness, Jay, I just don't get it, what they've done to professional sports anymore. What is this with all these hugging and kissing before games? What the freak is this? Are they going to a wedding or something?
Well, and a lot of it is a lot of these guys are one-and-done guys that cut straight out of high school. So they never really had a real rival. You know what I mean? Bird and Magic hate each other in college and they hate each other in the pros. Jordan didn't like anybody, so he was going to take it out. These guys come from high school, there was a man, this, that, and the other, and they become best friends with these guys who they work out with in the summer, pick up games with, lounge around with, so they think, hey, it's the same thing during the game. No, buddy. You got to separate that. You got to separate Charles Barkley, tell you, him and Jordan, they're best friends, but Jordan, they want to kill each other on the court. They wanted to kill each other on the court, and you don't have – it's no more killer instinct. Kobe may be the last person with a real killer instinct on the court. I mean, that's just the sad truth of it. Everybody's buddy-buddy. They pout, immature, whine, things will go their way, temper tantrum. Instead of taking care of things back on the court, then with the flagrant foul situation, you can't really retaliate how you want to retaliate. You know, every team had a goon back in the day. You had your Charles Oakley. You had your Davis brothers. You know, you had your Anthony Masons. You had your enforcers. There's no more enforcers in the NBA. No more. No more goons. That's part of the problem. And like you said, it's a simplification of it.
They're too busy walking around with silver trays and carrying Grey Poupon.
And their wardrobes. My God. Oh.
Yeah, don't even get me started on that. But seriously, I don't understand how this game is played now. And you're right. Kobe, he ain't got no friends. He ain't supposed to. It ain't a popularity contest. It's a team who wins. When you have three guys on your basketball team who are all playing well at the same time, you're going to do well. You know, and you're right about that other thing, too. That one-and-done stuff? Ridiculous. This is where that rivalry started in college. You know, and now these kids, when I was coming up, we played AAU in regionals. Just in our regions in the summer or whatever. It wasn't even called AAU then. It was called like American Legion or some damn thing. I don't remember what it was. I'm old now. I forget sometimes. But needless to say, you played, and most of the time, it was your high school team that played. It wasn't an all-star team. Now they got these cats playing all-star together since they're 10 years old.
Yep.
They don't compete against each other. Nope. They play with each other. And they think they can get away with that when they move on. And it's just destroyed the NBA to the point where, and that's why there's so many Europeans in the NBA now. Because in the old days, you couldn't get them over there. And not because of visa issues, because they didn't want to go over there. They would have got murdered. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Seriously, can you imagine? And I love Manu Ginobili. You think Manu Ginobili was going to go to the rack on Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn?
Nope.
And that's the difference. Michael Jordan did. You know, that's the difference. Kobe Bryant would.
But I respect that. It's a couple of tough European players out there, tougher than some of the American-born guys, Mark Gasol. Give me Mark Gasol. The guy in Minnesota, the rebounder, Pekovic. Yeah, I love Pekovic. My man Zaza Pachulia for the Hawks. There's some tougher Europeans out there, tougher than some of these other guys prancing around with tight, skinny jeans and bright-colored jackets and crazy-looking shoes and all that foolishness going on.
And what's with the lenses? What's with the glasses with no lenses?
I don't know.
These guys are just empty-headed. They think they're fashionable. They look stupid.
I don't know.
Anyway, this is enough of that. We're really going a little far. But it is Pop Culture Tuesday, you know. So talking about how they dress. Me, I'm a casual guy. I wear my sweats, my shorts, my T-shirts, and that's it. I don't care what anybody thinks. But I'm old, you know. I got nobody to impress anymore, really. So it's all good in the hood. But I got to tell you, one of the TV shows, Jay, and you listen to the show, you know, we talk a lot about the Real Housewives series. Because we got a lot of people who watch that. I was really shocked. It's one of those shows that actually comes on where I live. And I can see it. And I watch these because they're American shows. But the one that we talk about a lot when we talk about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Have you ever seen that one?
No.
Okay, we'll leave that be then. Have you ever heard of Vanderpump Rules?
No.
Okay, that one you might want to see because there's some hot girls in there. But they're crazy girls. But it's okay. It's all good in the hood. I'll talk about them next week probably. But The Real Housewives of Atlanta, you've seen that, right?
Yep.
So you're from Atlanta, so you've actually seen some of these people out there. What is the average person from Atlanta, someone like you who's educated, who's African-American, because the main cast are all African-American except the one girl, Kim Zolciak. She wasn't African-American. I don't know really what she is exactly, other than Croy Bierman's wife, and I don't want to mess with him, so I better shut up now. But how is that show viewed?
I mean, they viewed it as entertainment because some of the people who are on the show, they're not really from Atlanta. They're, you know, just implants because Atlanta is a transient city. So we got a lot of people from New York, L.A., Miami, a lot of different people stay here in Atlanta, so they just look at it as strictly on the entertainment value and not how they depict of everybody who is from Atlanta, you know. So,
yeah, I tell you what, none of them are actually from Atlanta except for perhaps Phaedra Parks, Burris,
yeah,
and Portia Stewart.
Uh huh.
I think they're the only three that are actually from there.
Uh huh.
But I'll tell you what, this season has been interesting because a lot of things have happened. Kenya Moore, I think something's wrong with her, truthfully. Because, no, really, I do. And I'll tell you why. Because, you know what, she brought a fake boyfriend. She manti-teo to the guy. She brought this guy Walter on the show because she needed a boyfriend to be on the show, at least. You know, this is the interesting thing about these housewives. Most of them aren't married. Or they're ex-wives or some damn thing.
Yep.
But the thing is with this girl is it turns out that this Walter and her weren't dating. They were just pretending so she could get a gig because, well, she needed to get on the show to get some exposure. Crazy stuff, man. But and then here's the one that cracks me up the most. I got to be honest. Is this whole Cordell Stewart, Portia Stewart. Now, I don't know. I'm an ex-athlete. I don't know if I would want my wife on the Real Housewives of anything because, you know what? I have enough in my world of public whatever that I kind of really like my privacy, and I don't want no damn camera following me around all day. Cordell Stewart doesn't seem to mind too much. What are your impressions of that deal there? Because it does seem a little funny. They say he controls her. He's just short with everybody. That's how he talks. That's how most professional athletes are until they get on the radio. Then they run their mouth. But usually they're just short-spoken and funny, usually.
Well, you know.
Go ahead.
I about to say Portia. She's from Atlanta. I mean, she's pretty much been in the limelight all her life, being the grandfather of the granddaughter of the Reverend Hosea Williams, who was an Atlanta icon. Everybody loves Hosea Williams for his Feed the Hungry thing for Thanksgiving and holidays here in Atlanta. Everybody loves Hosea Williams, so you know she's been around the limelight. But she's a little young, and Cordell Stewart is old. So of course it's gonna show that he's controlling her. He's short with her and stuff like that. Like, I think he could be like that with everybody. Like you said, it just seems like they don't match well together. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think so. But that's kind of the way it is with athletes and their wives, though. Really.
Yeah, and but
they're always going to be younger. The girl's always going to be younger because you know what? The athletes, even though they retire, that doesn't mean they've stopped firing and they think young still and they have a little more paper in their pocket than most guys. Or even if they don't, they just have this way about them that's different, I guess. It's a confidence that they have, maybe. I don't
know. It's funny because the ones with the athletes on there, two of them, Deshaun Snow and Eric Snow, I think that I won't say they're divorced now, but I don't know if they're still together, but Deshaun Snow, she was on season one and she left with it. They didn't bring her back because they say she was too boring, quote unquote. Same thing with Lisa Wu. She was the husband of Ed Hartwell. Lisa Wu Hartwell. She's a nice looking lady. She didn't come back for the fifth season. But the most famous one of all the athletes on there is Cherie Whitfield, the former wife of Bob Whitfield, perhaps one of the worst offensive lineman I've ever seen play football for the Atlanta Falcons. But Cherie made a name for herself on there with her arguments and her debates and her fights. And that's why they look at it. That's what they want to get into, you know what I'm saying? They want to see the drama. It's funny, it's entertainment. As long as it's drama, good drama involved, people will tune in.
Yeah, Cherie is not on the show this year.
She's not on.
I don't know why she left, but she did. But who knows? Maybe she has real issues in her life because she seemed like she was better than everyone else because her husband was Bob Whitfield, the worst offensive lineman ever.
Oh, you want a holding penalty or a false start? Call
he
Bob
was your
Whitfield.
Man.
He was the man.
He was your man. But this show though, does it adequately represent the affluent African American culture of Atlanta, or is it just BS?
BS. BS. Now this stuff does go wrong, I'm gonna be honest with you. Like in the rich parts of Atlanta, Vining's, Buckhead area, there's some stuff going on. But for everyday, for the people who watch this show and for the working class people of Atlanta, no, this stuff don't go on. Like I say, they just find it as funny, entertaining, value. A lot of people are friends with Candy. I mean, not friends, but fans of Candy, because she seems to be the most realist out of all of them. You know, and I think a lot of the females in Atlanta can relate to Candy more than they can relate to any of the other women on the show.
Well, yeah, because she was, you know what, she said on the show, she goes, everyone in Atlanta thinks they can sing. But she actually came up with, who was it, Escape?
Yeah, the group Escape.
I'm doing good with my trivia today, aren't I?
Good job. Good job.
Yeah. You're becoming more and more impressed with me every day, aren't you?
I am. The group Escape, I don't know if you watch, you know, T.I., the rapper T.I., his wife, Tiny, mm-hmm. she was in the group with him, and the Scott sisters was in the group with them. It was four of them. And the thing about it, interesting nugget about Candy and a couple of members of Escape, they graduated high school with my sister. Well, they went to high school with my sister. So I knew them while I was a child, you know what I'm saying? been the same ever since. That's why a lot of people love Candy, because they know that she was born and raised right here in Atlanta. And how she portrays herself on screen is how she is every day in real life. So, like I say, a lot of people find her more real than the rest of the people on there.
Yeah, plus, like I was going to say, that she came up from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She's self-made. That's what I enjoy about her. She's self-made. Then you have these other ones who are a little more stuck up and think they're big shots. This Phaedra Parks would be one.
Yep.
The other one, Cynthia Bailey, she's a pretty well-known model. She was with the actor Leon for a while, and they have a child together. But I see, you know, this is the thing I don't get about this show and shows like this, is they know they're on camera, okay? Mm-hmm. And they get caught being two-faced, you know, telling one person one thing, another person another thing. And then they get in front of the camera alone and they say a third different thing. And you have to wonder about their sanity, that why would they risk any type of professional embarrassment by being on the program. But then again, these girls basically are set for life.
Yeah, you are exactly right.
So they can't get hurt, right?
Yep. It's crazy, man. It's crazy how they would think that. It's crazy how they would do that. But I it's just entertainment. I think they have a premeditated thing of what they're going to do. They're going to start some foolishness here. They're going to start some foolishness there. They would need to go in what you call it, when they interview them one-on-one, the confidentiality thing. Then they say a whole nother thing there. And it just, then you got someone editing this part, someone editing that part, and someone editing their part. Then you put those three parts together and you got drama. And you got you an hour-long show of foolishness.
That's exactly right. An hour-long show of foolishness, and I think it's scripted, some of it, too. I think it has to be. If, at the very least, they've got a couple shills in there who set up all the drama, I believe that, because how else would they sell? Because, like, the Real Housewives of New Jersey, and I know I shouldn't be talking like I know all this stuff, but I do, because I do this every Tuesday. But those shows are shown here, and those women are crazy, man. They fight like dogs, like really street cats. And they say hurtful things to each other. The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills is the most darkest show I've ever seen. You know, these people have real money, more than all the others combined. Mm-hmm. And they act biggest fool of them all.
Yeah.
I just don't understand the mentality of going on TV. You know, okay, we do this every day, Jay. We come on here and act a fool. But we have intentions of going somewhere with it. So what? But the thing is these people, I guess it's because they have nothing to lose, that they just don't care. Because why would you want to be a real friend with any of these people, really, except for maybe Candy Burris or NeNe Leakes? I would not want to be friends with any of these people on this list.
You're exactly right. Money, to be honest with you. Trying to be in the in crowd, buying your friends. I mean, like you said, NeNe and Candy is the only ones who really want to say, quote unquote, real, keep it real. They're the ones that keep it real. The rest of them, you can smell their craziness and fakeness a mile away. I mean, that's why I like Candy. She's my favorite character on the show. But I think they got nothing to lose. They got nothing to lose. They got casted for a show. I don't know how much Bravo is paying them per show to be on there. If Bravo would say, look, we're going to pay you $75,000 per episode, I can come up with some foolishness for you, Phil. I can come up with some foolishness for you. I can just go start some trouble. If they're going to pay me $100,000 per episode to come up with some crazy, stupid stuff, I will do it.
Look, man, I don't even have to do that. Look, I don't even have to try to start some trouble. All I try to do is post a picture and look what happened.
Yeah, that is true. I just did a Black History fact. I didn't get anything. So, you know, man, it was some crazy stuff with that.
They put the hurting on us, and we don't even try. The Facebook Fugazi thing we actually set up, so it's a little different. But people like the fact that it was cleaner this time, and I tried to tell them it's because Jamie's mom, I want her to listen once in a while. She's going to kill me when I come home. I have to be careful, man, because I expect her to hook me up with some vittles, and she's going to hit me with a freaking spatula with a wooden spoon, won't let me in the door with all my foolishness, so I had to behave myself, and that's why. But anyway, I'll tell you something, man, this was a good hour. This was kind of an hour we don't do much, but this was fun, Jamie, and thank you for being on the show with me.
No problem, man. I'm glad to talk about pop culture today. You know, don't get a chance to talk about it every day, but, you know, I had fun.
And we got it all in today, too, pretty much. And on Thursday, we'll be back to talking our usual sports because we have some funny things to talk about there, I'm sure. But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for today's Phil Nason Show. Special thanks to my friend Jamie Smith from thesportsgoons.com. You can find him on Twitter at thesportsgoons. Thanks for coming in and pinch hitting for us, Matt, because I like doing the show with you, and I'm glad he's here, and he's welcome always. He knows that, too. Anyway, tomorrow night, Andy Flint from thesportskings.com will be here. We'll be talking all-star basketball and a bunch of other stuff. On Thursday, Jamie will be here. Like you said, we'll be talking sports. And on Friday, we'll be talking baseball. We'll be talking about the Mike Piazza book and the admission that he was doing Andro, among many other things. Until then, you all take care of yourselves out there. Be good. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for sending me the emails. I really do appreciate it. Good, bad, or indifferent. Head on over to iTunes. Subscribe. That's great that you do that. And leave a nice review. Or a bad one. Just let us know what you're thinking. Until then, till next time, take care. Good night.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you, my father thanks you, my sister thanks you, and I thank you.